as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as ransom for many. Now see, there's a very deceptive message that's being proclaimed today, and many people are being misled by this. See, it blinds unbelievers to the truth, and it affects believers on the understanding really who Jesus is. And see, we know that God loves everyone, but this wonderful truth has been twisted. Twisted by the world that we live in today. And see, now remember last week we talked a lot about being a good person isn't enough to get you into heaven. You know, being a good guy, being a good man, being a good woman, it's just not enough. And the word talks about that. Last week we spent a lot of time on that. See, many falsely believe that if they are good people and just believe in God and just ask him for forgiveness, they can make it into heaven. But see, Paul warned believers in 2 Timothy 4:3-4 that when he said that believers would not endure sound doctrine. See, Jesus explained that the need for his crucifixion to the Pharisees named Nicodemus. And he explained that salvation was only possible through his death. Not about what you do. Doesn't say that. Salvation is only possible through his death. John 3:14-15 says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. See, if you want to know what God has said about salvation, you only really need to examine his word. It clearly explains who Christ is and why he had to die and why we must accept him as our Lord and Savior and only to be reconciled with God. But if you believe that God accepts people based on good behavior, good character, the implications may lead you away from truth in Scripture. If you believe that, then it would mean that you have the ability, you can make yourself acceptable to the Lord, and Christ's death was not necessary. If you believe that, then the cross is pointless. Then it means that God was wrong for allowing his son to die in the first place. If you believe that, then salvation would be possible even apart from Christ. And if you believe that, you wouldn't need Jesus to have a personal relationship with God. And if you believe that, then the Lord could forgive you simply just because he loves you. Or that the cross should not symbolize Christianity because it's just a meaningless sign. See, we need to understand that what the Bible says about the necessity of the death of our King. Jesus' death was essential in God's plan of salvation, as we've read so many times in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This verse doesn't say that God so loved the world that he just forgave us. See, something had to happen here. See, we need to thank God and understand that we can't do anything by our own accord. He did something that would make forgiveness possible by offering his son. Death of Christ was necessary to accomplish God's desires for man. See, the Lord has some wonderful plans for us that would be impossible to do without Jesus. It would be impossible to do without him on the cross. See, without it, we couldn't be saved or have a personal relationship with him. The Lord's justice requires a payment for sin. See, when God created Adam and Eve, he gave them the ability to choose obedience. But they decided to violate his instructions. Sin and death entered the world. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short to the glory of God. Offering forgiveness without enforcing punishment would have gone against his word and very nature. In order for him to remain just, the penalty had to be paid. Do you understand? Justification is only possible through the blood of Jesus Christ. See, there's only one way the Lord could both remain just and rescue us from the punishment we deserve. The Son had to come to the earth, live a perfect life, and then die in our place to pay the price. The perfect life to pay your price. Romans 5:8-9 says, but God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? Our forgiveness is purchased by the shedded blood of Jesus. 1 Peter 1:18-19 says, For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors. Now, hold on a minute. The empty way of life that was handed down to you from your ancestors. That means we were in a way that he knew we needed to get out of. And he then provided a way and an answer for us to get out of that empty life. If you continue reading, it says, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect, he provided that way. The precious lamb. See, many people think that they only need to ask in order to receive God's forgiveness. But asking doesn't make your sins just go away. You can ask. And he can forgive you. But it doesn't make things just go away. Only the blood can cleanse. Only the blood can cleanse us. Jesus is our substitute appointed answer. He was put in the place for us. See, because the Lord, he can't overlook our sin. And we can either take the punishment ourselves or rely upon the substitute that he gave us. See, when he hung on that cross, the Father placed all of the sins of mankind upon him. And Jesus bore God's divine judgment in our place. 1 Peter 2:24 says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. See, now, all who believe and trust Christ for salvation are forgiven. See, then it is done and it is finished and it is over with. When the full payment for sin had been made, Jesus cried out, "It is finished." Nothing more was needed for God's redemptive plan.
The sixth hour, and there was a darkness over over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said this, he gave up the ghost. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor. This man went in to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone. And women also which came with him from Galilee followed after him and beheld the sepulcher and how his body was laid. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. They entered in and found not the body of the Lord. There was a young man sitting on the right side of the sepulcher, clothed in long white garments, and Mary Magdalene was afraid.
Ascended to my Father, but go, tell my brethren that I ascend to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God.
Magdalene went and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her.
very hard. We had to go on a donkey, but God gave me strength to ride, to make sure that we got to that house. Yes. And that's where he was born. And you know, shepherds came. I do not know from where, but they came and they bowed down and they worshipped me. Oh, and I remember when he grew, he was just walking, and you know, wise men came. Wise men brought him many gifts, gold, presents, to wear every wonderful gift you can think of. They brought it to my son Jesus. Oh, he was so glad from the beginning. But you know, I had more children. And we went back home to the village at that point, and we saw that there was a difference between my son Jesus and the other boys and girls. They were not kind to people. They did not, they mocked him, they talked about him, they called him evil names. But you know, Jesus never ever loved any. Jesus always loved the old man. They were my children, but they were also too big. Oh, I did not have to spank him. He was obedient. Not like you, Clever. Sometimes you can spank him, yes? I don't get to spank him, yes? You do get on that. You get to spank him. That's okay. That's not spanking. But I remember one time, I almost did what he wanted. He went to the hospital. And we had a wonderful time. We had a wonderful time. We had a wonderful time. And you know, Trevor, what happened? He didn't see me.
Glory. Woo. Galatians 6:14 says, "May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." The cross represents the most important message this world will ever hear. Paul's position, where he says riches, influence, reputation, physical comfort, lost their meaning when weighed against the redemption that has and was through Jesus' sacrifice. See, the cross, what he did, the cross, the symbol of salvation and eternal life. The cross, the word of the cross is foolish to those who are perishing, but to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. See, the crucifixion did not take Jesus by surprise. He knew what had to happen. He knew his purpose was to die in sake for the world and for you and for me. Matthew 20:28 says, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as ransom for many." We opened up with this. He told Nicodemus said he would be lifted up. And we talked about that. In Mark 8, Jesus said that he was going to suffer, be killed, and rise again in 3 days. Mark 8:31 says, "He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and after 3 days, he will rise again." See, why was the death of our King and the cross so important? See, everyone has sinned. You, me, no one is without blemish. No one is without blemish. See, but the consequences of sin is death. See, both physical and spiritual. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." Eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, through the crucifixion, God was able to be the righteous judge of all mankind. And he then offered the payment for us and for you and his sin. For our sins, excuse me. Romans 3:26 says, "He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus." Because Christ became our substitute. Because he was put in the place of you. Because he said, "I got them on my back. Enemy, leave them alone. You can't touch them because I'm here for them. Whether they love me, like me, trust me, or want me, I'm still here for them." Woo! That is something special. something powerful there. See, because Christ became our substitute, bearing all the guilt of mankind, suffering separation from the Father, we now can ask God to forgive our wrongdoings and rebellion against Him. And y'all know we've gone through some acts of rebellion in our life. If you haven't, I'll raise your hand because I want to talk to you because you've been able to do some things that I haven't figured out yet, and I want to know how you did it. Titus 2:14 says, Christ gave Himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed. Every lawless deed. So what is a lawless deed? So I looked it up. I want to know, what is a lawless deed? Well, a lawless deed is a person without law or control. If you have no control over yourself, you're a lawless person. Control over self. That means what you do, what you say, how you act. Ooh. Ooh. Powerful. It's also a laxed attitude or behavior. That's a lawless deed. And another one was disobedient or defiant to the law. See, disobedient and defiant. Have you ever been a little disobedient? Have you ever been a little defiant? See, that means that He died for all of our sins, which include the ones from your past. Oh, well, y'all should be shouting on that. Because you're here today because you figured some things out. And you went to Him, got cleansed, and He like opened up his life and you accepted Him in. So you're not the same person, amen? But there was a time that you walked a different way. That you acted a different way, that you talked a different way, you had a different walk in your attitude. You walked like this at one time because you thought you were something, right? And then you got that slap and realized you weren't really nothing. And then you got a chance to get alive and get some pep in your step, and you got a new attitude, a new rebirth in Him. See, we got cleansed from that past life of what we used to do. And I know if you're here today, you're grateful. Amen. 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 See, we got cleaned of our sins, the ones from the past and the ones from the present. And guess what? The ones you're going to do in the future. Woo! That is huge. Thank you, Lord, for looking out, because he knows that we're going to make some mistakes. We're going to do some stupid things, say some dumb things, think about dumb things. He just knows this. He knows that we're going to be that way. See, so however, when we do sin, you and I should turn to the Father quickly. Quickly. Confession and repentance at the same time to maintain that intimate relationship with Him. Don't let something go or go back to this person. It's all good. I'm good with God. I'm good with everybody else. I can be how I want to be. It's good. You will soon learn He will get your attention. Go ahead and act that way. He will soon figure out a way to capture your attention and wake you up. Wake you up. And y'all ever had that Holy Spirit slap? You know that one where you in this way like this? You think you got something and you get that. And you go, where'd that come from? And He's like, hey, I'm trying to capture your attention. You ain't paying attention. Or here, I have friends like this. They, you know, where they doing their thing and Holy Spirit's doing like this. Just tapping them. Hey, I'm trying to get your attention. You're about to go down a path I don't want you to go. You're about to hit a brick wall. You're about to stumble in that hole that's out there in front of you. Pay attention and listen to what I'm saying. And they're like, I'm good. I got them. What is that? And He's saying, look, pay attention. Pay attention. You don't have to go down that path. I want you to go this way. Open your ears. Open your eyes. Listen to what I'm saying. Don't follow the wrong path. When he's capturing your attention, pay attention. You need to be able to hear. You can't hear if you don't have your word. Stay in that word and get in the word. Understand what the cross meant. Understand what the blood meant. Understand what he did. See, this is no joke, people. This is no joke. We have to be empowered. Empowered and be bold about who we are. And not ashamed about who we are. See, the world wants us to be ashamed because why? We want to love people. Really? You want to condemn us because we just want to love on others and show you the love of Christ and tell you about where we once were and how we got out of there. And now we found a new way and we want to share this new way with you. You don't have to accept the new way. You don't have to accept the new way, but I need to tell you about this new way, because if I don't tell you about the new way, I'm accountable. And I don't want to be accountable that way. I want to be accountable the right way. So I want to tell you that how God delivered me. And I want to tell you about the day of the cross and what that meant and what he did. Because you can have salvation yourself. Worship team, come on up. So you have a choice. A choice. See, the question is, how can you respond to the cross if you've never placed your faith in him? If you've never said, God, I trust you and place my faith in you, how are you going to respond to the cross? You don't understand it. You don't get it. See, well, here, I'm going to give you three things that you can think about. Well, if that's you, maybe start by asking the Lord to forgive you of all your sins based on his death taking place of your sins, and believe his resurrection and that he did what he did just for you. Just for you. See, here's the coolest thing that I tell everybody, and I love saying this. If you were the only person alive on this earth, he still would have done what he did just for you. See, we also, you need to maybe understand that receiving Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior is the only answer. See, Lord, we're going to receive him as Lord and King and surrender everything to him. We are so lied to and tricked to by the world. We are so confused by what we see, and our flesh is all twisted. We're all twisted in television, movies, magazines, and we got instant access to everything on our phones and stuff. You know, we can do people are doing porno on their phones. It's crazy stuff. The world has us twisted and sidetracked. Hoodwinked and bamboozled, all right? So we need to wake up. Wake up. Surrender our lives to him. Surrendering means saying, God, I trust you. I believe in you. I believe what you did for me. The very moment you do, you get an opportunity to be born again. See, John 3:3 says, Jesus replied, very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. The Holy Spirit will come into your life and enable you to live righteously. Once you choose to be a follower of Jesus. And serve him timelessly with your time, your talents, your energy, and all of your resources. Serve him with all that you have. Don't give him just a little taste. Don't give him just a little piece of you. Because he gave you everything you have anyway. Every talent you have, every resource that you have, everything that you are, who you are, is because He allowed you to be that way. If you got stuff, it's because he allowed you to have stuff. So we need to be grateful people with grateful hearts and serve him. See, we also need to do what we're also instructed to do is be sure to tell others about the life-changing experience because of what the cross did for you. Boy, there's power in that. Thank you, Lord. Our Father's plan is an amazing plan for each and every one of you. And it starts with faith. Faith is required to take that step. And when we acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God who died in our place and accept him as our substitute, the Lord forgives us and we enter in that relationship with him. And it's a relationship that can't ever be broken. It's there forever and ever and ever. His Spirit then comes to live in us. And he writes your name on the Lamb's Book of Life. And heaven then gets to become your home. Not by how good you are. See, in the last days, in these days, in the early church, the cross was a symbol of death, suffering, and disgrace. But today, it's so misunderstood. It's very still misunderstood. See, for those who are aware of its significance, the cross is a powerful reminder of the beautiful sacrifice of Jesus. And as Christians, that's how we see the cross today. See, he laid down his life so that we might have freedom from sin. And it's not merely the most common recognized symbol of Christianity. The cross is the very means by which you and I can experience new life here and now. It is the promise of eternal life and the future. While everybody stand. We're going to run a video, and today, while that's playing, I want you to reflect on the death of our King and the power of the cross and what that meant. And if something that you need prayer for is on your heart, just come on up and spend time with the Lord, just you and him. And folks will just come behind you and just lay hands on you and pray over you while you're on your one-on-one time with God. But take this moment to relax. Father God, I thank you for these people today, Lord. I thank you for what you've done, God. I thank you for each and every one, Lord. Protect them, Lord. They are your soldiers, and they, Lord, love you. They want to serve you, God. And we thank you, God, for what you've done, Lord. We don't take it lightly, Jesus, that you gave yourself for us, for me. And you do it if it was just me that was here, God. And I thank you for that, for your son. Lord, today we reflect on who you are and what you've done in us, and we give you all the glory and all the praise. Truly understand this power and want to receive what the Lord has done for you, then I want you to come up here so we can pray over you. We don't want you to miss this opportunity. Just make your way here so we can pray over you. And if you've been in a way where you haven't been the way you need to be, and you stepped aside a little bit and want to get some things right and get it back in line with the Father, and you want to come back to that understanding that you had, come on up, because we want to pray over you, and we want to put that power on you and let you know that it's going to be all right. So come on up, Jesus. Thank you, God.
That was beautiful. Thank you.